The following program is brought to you by your friends at TheForce.net.
Oh, Maxie bit the Force.
And RebelScum.com.
You Rebel Scum.
The galaxy is listening.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away.
Welcome to the Forcecast, your weekly dose of Star Wars news and much more.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use it.
All systems have been alerted to your presence, sir.
Check it out, Corporal.
Roger, roger.
Now your hosts of the Forcecast, Jason and Pete.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Wowie wow. Coming at you from the Forcecast Studios Annex in downtown Chicago. We're not live this week, but being the fact that we're surrounded by all of this fantastic professional broadcasting equipment makes it all worth it. Not only are we just surrounded by this equipment, why are you being so quiet?
I haven't had anything to say yet. I mean, I had some great one-liners, but nothing. Bam, you just covered it all. Well, I was going to go outside and...
If you waited until you had something to say...
Are we going to start off with low blows now?
We are. We've got... first of all, I should say, welcome to the Forcecast.
Yes, welcome.
This week's episode for August 31st, 2007. The summer is over. Wow.
Single tear.
Yeah, but you know what? I had that long hiatus that Jimmy was just reminding me about back in, what was that, like June, July.
Yeah.
I'm sure you do. Speaking of Jimmy Mack, he's here in the Forcecast studios with us. Jimmy?
Hello, hello, hello.
Wow, isn't that cool?
It's nice to have him here sitting with us in front of us, spinning the dials.
It's nice to have you guys here.
We know it's going to sound good with Jimmy at the controls. That's for sure.
So far, so good.
Right. Well, we want to tell you a little bit about our sponsor for this week. They've been our sponsor really since this show began, darn near a year ago. What is it? A year ago tomorrow as this show goes live.
Yes.
Wasn't that September 1? Was the first show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jimmy, do you remember that show?
I do, finally, yes. It was an earth-shattering moment.
Yes.
But I know you guys have done an incredible job in the year you've been on. The show has grown and evolved, and as a listener and a fan of you guys, I've grown to love you so much and the show so much that I'm so thankful that you've been able to pull it off for a year.
Well, we wonder that sometimes ourselves. But no, I mean, and it certainly reached a whole new level when you got involved, and it gave us a lot of credibility. I mean, we always had the passion, and Pete and I always had the friendship to do a project like this, but you gave it that extra push and really separated us from a lot of other podcasts out there, so we appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate it, but I mean, bottom line, we're just having fun.
That's true. That's true. So we were talking about official picks. They've got some special announcements they've had recently. Samuel L. Jackson, Mace Windu, autographs now back in stock. So check those out. There's three different officially licensed images to choose from, so you can check them out at officialpicks.com. That's picks with an X.com. Also, for you Darth Vader fans out there, James Earl Jones, the voice of Darth Vader. They have officially licensed 8x10 signed photos from James Earl.
Get those now.
That's right. And Labor Day summer sale, 20% discount on any autograph in the store, limited time. Sale ends September 3rd. 2007. Also want to remind you about the Sci-Fi Expo, which is coming up in October 20th, 21st in the Dallas, Texas area. And there will be the famed fan club breakfast. Now, Jimmy, you've actually been to you went to both of them, right? At Celebration 4?
Yes, it's Celebration 4. It was a fantastic time. Great time. Jay LaGaia was there. Dustin Roberts from the fan club was there. Mary Franklin, Steve Sansweet. It was a fantastic time. Great time to get to meet some Star Wars fans, some of whom we ran into later in the night or at the Kessel Run or whatever. It was a great way to, meet some new people.
Literally ran into them in the Kessel Run.
Yeah. Yeah. There were some acknowledging looks here in the studio when I said that. Everyone knows what we're talking about. But,
right.
A great time. Any time to get together with Star Wars fans and bond over some scrambled eggs and and bacon, you know?
Yeah.
It's a great time.
Well, Star Wars and breakfast, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
We didn't get to go.
No, well, we closed out.
That's right.
We sat on our laurels and they were gone by the time we decided we wanted to go.
We kind of just assumed that there would be a place for us.
Well,
that's the last time we'll assume
that.
This
is a hot ticket.
But Jimmy definitely got in. So you were actually waiting there on eBay, right?
Yeah, getting the tickets. It was incredible to see how fast those tickets went.
What
when they
rush.
Went on sale. It was about a 2 minute experience trying to get those tickets, and I was afraid of being shut out. I mean, you know, you keep hitting refresh, and when you see them on sale, you jump at it, and boom, I was able to get in. I was shocked that I was, because then looking at the Rebel Scum forum on the message boards there, everyone was responding after the whole process,
right.
And it was amazing. So many people got shut out who were right there with me, and it was just, you know, luck of the draw, good timing to be able to get it.
It's kind of like a lottery in a way.
Yeah, and it's so much fun, you know, and it's an experience. If you're into being around Star Wars fans, meeting the celebs, or just, you know, I mean, meeting good people to have conversations with about Star Wars. If you're listening to this podcast, that's what you're into, then the fan club breakfasts are for you.
And that's, again, October 20th and 21st in the for the Sci-Fi Expo. Courtesy of Official Picks. Also, one last mention here of Official Picks. The second set of black and white images from Star Wars A New Hope, these behind-the-scenes sets, are available. 30 new images. Pre-order the whole set today. So check that again. Officialpicks.com. That's picks with an X.com. We thank them for their whole year of support. It's great. All right. You know, when you think back to the prequels and you think about some of the memorable characters and that we were introduced to. I mean, how can you not think of Klieg Lars? Klieg Lars from Star Wars Episode II. Maybe next to C.O. Bibble, one of the most memorable characters of the prequels. But the actor that breathed life into that character is celebrating a birthday today as the show goes live. He's 67 years old. Here's a little bit of Jack Thompson as Klieg.
It was just before dawn. Came out of nowhere, hunting party of Tusken Raiders. Your mother had gone out early, like she always did, to pick mushrooms and grow them in the evaporators. From the tracks, she was about halfway home when they took her. Those Tuskens walk like men, but they're vicious, mindless monsters.
Vicious. Mindless monsters.
You know, I'd be out there with them if I hadn't lost my legs.
Well, just when you thought that no one could get more grizzled and bitter than Owen, you got Klieg. I mean, at least Owen didn't live to see his wife killed by the Imperials. You know, I mean, Klieg is very angry.
Well, I wouldn't say that. We don't know who was killed first.
Oh, you know, that's a good point.
Maybe Owen did live to see that.
You know, there's a comic in that. I don't know, maybe the new Atlas book will tell us that. By the way, the sand dunes weld up there on Tatooine.
After our experience getting here to Chicago, if there's anybody who needs an Atlas, it's you, my friend.
But I do think that story has already been told by Kevin Rubio in Troops.
Oh,
that's right.
You know,
that's right.
It's been so long, but
mindless
that's right.
Monsters. there's something. I love that performance by that guy. I mean, he was really good.
He was good. There was this old, it's not that old, this bit on Saturday Night Live. It was a take on a game show called Who's More Grizzled? And they had Robert Duvall and Garth Brooks were the hosts at that time. And it's reminding me of that. Imagine having Owen and Klieg. Who's more grizzled between the two of them? But anyway, happy birthday to Jack Thompson. Klieg Lars from Attack of the Clones. Kind of a shame we didn't see him in Sith. You know, I guess Grandpa never lived to see the twins delivered.
Well, I can only imagine what might have happened. To lead to his demise.
Some fun games of hopscotch, maybe.
I'm thinking of a hover chair malfunction that may have ended poorly.
But it is implied that by the time of the end of Revenge of the Sith, that Klieg is no longer with us. We got that, right?
No, I think so. They could have shown the little Lars family graveyard there with an extra tombstone.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? But only Jay Shepard would have remembered how many tombstones there were.
Or, you know, we didn't get to see, you know, some of the things that happened right after that little break at the end of Revenge of the Sith where Obi-Wan drops off Luke. And
right,
you don't
right.
get to hear Klee going, Owen, get back in here. Feed me some mashed potatoes.
And then he comes down with a baby.
Right.
Look what I
what
got.
What just man. Happened up there? I told you about that.
Vicious monsters.
Oh, it's going to be one of those shows, folks. We got headline news coming right this way.
I have good news for you, my lord.
That's good news.
Come closer, I have good news.
All right, just when you think that Star Wars couldn't get more Star Trek-like, we have this story. And I have my own take on it. We'll see what Jimmy and Pete think. But as part of the ongoing celebration of the 30th anniversary of Star Wars, Luke Skywalker's... Now I'm quoting here, and Jimmy pointed this out today. We were sitting around watching some local Chicago news footage of this whole deal. Luke Skywalker's original lightsaber, now this is how it's being reported in the media, is going to head into space with NASA astronauts on the Space Shuttle Discovery in October. Chewbacca officially, now this story that I'm reading here was written before it actually happened, but we saw footage of it today. Chewbacca officially handed the lightsaber over to NASA's Space Center during a ceremony at the Oakland International Airport. The ceremony included characters including Boba Fett, Jango Fett, X-Wing Jedi, and Stormtroopers. I guess they mean X-Wing pilots here. You know, that was a great, not to get off a tangent, but that was a great point, and we'll talk about it a little bit later, but it was in The Force Among Us, about the way, you know, mainstream journalists cover Star Wars news, with that separation, and, you know, you have these kind of errors and things like that. But anyway, what we found out by looking at the footage is, Jimmy, you pointed out, it's not the original lightsaber.
Right. Yes, it was the lightsaber that Mark Hamill used in Return of the Jedi. And the way they're presenting it, yes, sure, it is an original Luke Skywalker lightsaber, but is it the original from the original film? No. So that was a little misleading in
right.
the press release and whatnot, and all the hype and hoopla leading up to the event. When they actually displayed the lightsaber, we all saw clearly that it was the model from Return
absolutely,
of the Jedi.
Which is a yeah. very unmistakable look. I mean, we all, I think, can recognize
yeah,
that.
I think we know it by heart by now.
Yes.
One glance.
Oh, please. That's clearly not the original. But it's going to go up into space. And, you know, hey, anything that continues this year-long party that we've been having, you know, in 2007 for the 30th anniversary, that's a great thing. But I can't help but think that this is very...
Well,
Star Trek-like.
After hearing you say, you read the story again and having read it myself, I have to wonder, is this now, and this is kind of a point of contention, I think, is the lightsaber just along for the ride like it is the, you know, official
co-pilot? I knew you were
going to
ask me that. Let me look here.
Or are they actually going to launch this thing into space?
All right.
Because that makes a huge difference.
It does. Let me see.
I do believe I heard the story being reported that it will be returned to Lucasfilm after.
Yeah, it's just going into space.
It's just a flyby. Okay, that changes my opinion a little bit.
No, it's not the sad tale of Star Trek Scotty being shot into space, the capsule not quite making it, falling back to the Earth, a three-day-long excursion to find the remains. I mean...
That's
it kind of take much more, I tell you.
No. Listen, I had thought about doing the Scotty impersonation. This is a Star Wars podcast. Please,
that's right. I'm sorry.
Let's remain
They're
within
vicious,
the boundaries.
Vicious animals.
Mindless monsters.
But no, I mean, I don't know if it was necessarily the Scotty story or what it was. It just, you know, Pete and I, we had a, you know, Jim, many hours to kill on the way over to the Forcecast studios here in Chicago. And we kept talking about this a little bit. And I said, you know, I think what it is that I personally don't necessarily think of Star Wars as sci-fi. I just don't. I think of Star Wars as the Knights of the Round Table. I think of it like, you know, King Arthur. To me, it has a very... I hate to use the word fantasy because I always think of like scantily clad, you know, people in the on the cover of those paperback novels, you know. But it, I don't know. I think that like with Star Trek, you have space being almost a character or something to overcome. And by the time you get to Star Wars, space is a non-issue.
Exactly.
It's just the backdrop.
And that is something that weighs very heavily in the worldwide and universal appeal of Star Wars, is that it doesn't just attract that science fiction crowd. Mm-hmm. It's something that can appeal to anyone because it's a story. It's a classic story based on several different genres of storytelling. And Lucas threw it all together into a melting pot and came up with Star Wars. Yes, with a very sci-fi edge. No question about right. it. I mean, you know, we're talking about spaceships. We're talking about lasers. Of course, those are essential to science fiction in several cases. However, with Star Wars, and something about the original trilogy, and I don't want to get into the whole original trilogy versus a prequel trilogy. Not right at this minute, okay? Because it is always a compelling debate.
Right.
But something that I loved about the original trilogy is the fact that, yes, it was very sci-fi, but it did have strong elements of the American Western in it.
Yes, very much so.
The cowboy tale, you know? And I mean, of course,
the white hat and the black hat.
Harrison, yes, right there, something as simple as that. Or Harrison Ford's character, you know?
Yep.
I mean, it was something that was sadly missing from the prequels. That Western motif, which is something, you know, I've heard Star Wars, the original trilogy, being referred to as a space Western, as well as a space opera, as well as sci-fi, as well as fantasy, as well as fairy tale. I mean, it just crosses all these boundaries, and that is something that makes it appeal to so many people. Much more, I mean, I'm not bashing Star Trek, but I mean, let's face it, we all know that Star Wars has the appeal that Star Trek doesn't have on a universal level, to where it's a classic. And, you know, I mean, and of course,
I would
everyone
agree with
has
that.
Their own opinions
I would
on,
agree
on
with
how
that.
You're
going to
classify
think...
that, but that's just, you know, one of the things that makes it so universal.
Of course, this is a topic for a whole other podcast, but what you could, you know, you're right. I mean, none of the Star Trek films could necessarily be considered classics. I mean, you might be able to make the argument with Wrath of Khan, but it's certainly not to the level of Star Wars, although Star Trek is certainly, as far as classic television goes, it's kind of defined that in my mind. You got a few shows in the top five. Wait, what? Why don't you say something instead of just giving me?
I was letting you finish your point.
Silly
but,
glances.
You know, Batman the television series is a classic TV series too, and it has a completely
what are you talking about Adam, the Adam
yes.
West version.
Do you remember the Bat-2-Sea?
Oh, God.
That is classic television, but it has a completely different motif than the Batman that we've come to know, and the seriousness that the movies kind of follow. And I you know, I think classifying the Star Trek TV series as being classic in a way that it meets how Star Wars is a classic film, I don't think those things really match up. But
well,
you know, and like
wrong,
we talked,
but
like we talked about earlier, you know. The main element of Star Trek is the final frontier, is man versus space.
Right.
And that,
that
is a
we
huge
agree on,
part
my friend.
Of it.
Yeah.
Whereas in Star Wars, space is just the location.
Okay.
So that changes the dynamic of the story and the way the story's told.
Talk about changing the dynamic of the story. This just in, as part of this story, Force.net received a notice that three members of the Rebel Legion and four members from the 501st, the Golden Gate Garrison, they were on hand to present the lightsaber to NASA with Chewie. They signed a note to the astronauts that included their respective patches from the Rebel Legion and the 501st to be given to the astronauts, and they said it was a true honor to be present. We've got some clips here of the, or at least one clip, of the press conference with Chewie and the NASA astronauts.
We're here today and together to launch a special mission to celebrate the 30th anniversary of Star Wars. My name is Roger Bornstein, and I'm with Space Center Houston. We're proud to be here today with this great American movie icon, Luke Skywalker's original Jedi lightsaber. entrusted into the care of Southwest Airlines, it'll be transported to Space Center Houston, where it will be held and inventoried aboard Space Shuttle Discovery, STS-120. During that launch on October 23rd, Luke's original Jedi lightsaber will take its rightful place in space for a mission to the International Space Station. When the mission is complete and the Jedi lightsaber has traveled almost 6 million miles, it'll be on display at Space Center Houston and then returned to Lucasfilm. So to paraphrase Han Solo, we're all clear, kids. Now let's load this thing and let's go home.
He said paraphrase, not
quote. Okay. Of course, all of our listeners, all of a sudden, there. That's not what he said.
Let's load this thing and go home.
No, well, there you go. That answers our question. Yeah. It's going to come back, and it's going to be on display. Where did he say?
It's going to be at the Space Center,
right.
And then it's going to be returned to Lucasfilm.
Then returned back to Lucasfilm. It's rightful home, of course. Well, it's funny. This story kind of brought up a number of touchy issues. We'll get back to some of those, I'm sure, in the next few.
I think
few.
You brought up touchy issues. This story had nothing to do with it.
Year two of the Force Cast is going to be
rocking and rolling.
All right. Well, you know, there are a number of people that we love to hate here at the Force Cast.
It's a great setup.
Harrison Ford being one of them. I love to hate Harrison Ford. Love Harrison Ford. No one could have done, like Jimmy pointed out, you know, he brought that kind of that almost John Wayne-esque, touch to the original trilogy. Our other friend, Ewan McGregor. You know, he just, at least be like Harrison Ford and don't talk about Star Wars. We don't know if this story is true.
We don't know if it's true. It's secondhand.
We're going to sit here and debate it like it's, you know, absolutely true.
Like he's sitting next to us telling us these things.
But we don't know. Here's a story that actually Micah sent to us. Scottish actor Ewan McGregor regrets. And this is another one of those things where here's how it gets interpreted in the media. Scottish actor Ewan McGregor regrets filming the Star Wars movies, branding the sci-fi films the worst work he has done. The 36-year-old actor made his shock comment during a recent trip to a Scottish hospice when the father of a young patient suffering from an incurable condition asked him about his best and worst movies. Hamish Glasgow, who's he does not sound European at all, by the way, Hamish. Hamish Glasgow from the Bronx, whose 3-year-old son, Hamish, suffers from the rare, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, it's a rare disease, it's a terrible disease, said that Ewan was, quote, really down to earth, he was great with Cameron, he was really relaxed, and you could tell he's a really good dad. He said the favorite movie he had done was Trainspotting, and the one he liked least was Star Wars. Of course, we're not sure if this is true.
I always want to add on stories like that.
But
where
wait
it's
a minute.
Where it's third hand.
But if you read it, okay.
It's the purple monkey dish rag should be thrown on the end of it.
Jimmy's worked in the media for a number of years. Jimmy, the headline is Scottish actor Ewan McGregor regrets filming the Star Wars movies, branding the sci-fi films the worst work he has done. The quote is that his favorite movie that he has done was Trainspotting, and the one that he liked least was Star Wars.
Right. This just seems like something that's being blown out of proportion a little bit. Again, you say it's hearsay, and it's not necessarily anything Ewan just came out and said, I regret doing those movies.
Right.
Now, granted, he was fantabulous in Trainspotting, but is that why he's there to see little children? Do they want to see the junkie from Trainspotting, or do they want a visit from Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Well, that's a great point.
Now, granted, and also the conversation could have just been something like, you know, I love doing Trainspotting. That was a movie that put me on the map. Star Wars was difficult to do. You know, he could have said anything along those lines. We're not seeing any quotes, anything reliable here.
Right.
We've heard before in the past that Ewan has displayed an amount of frustration with the process of making the Star Wars movies. Early on, though, in the beginning of the process, he loved it. And there's no question the guy took it so seriously. And I'm not just talking about his acting chops. The sword fighting was the best. It was the best. And it took an athlete to do that, an actor to do that, and somebody who applied himself to his skill and who was passionate about what he was doing. And same thing with his acting chops. I thought Ewan McGregor was pretty darn good in those movies. Better than some of his counterparts, for sure. Was it the best Ewan McGregor could have done? And does he know that? Possibly. was he like the Anakin character? Was he being held back? Possibly. and he's an actor. The guy's an actor. He's an artist. Right. And you can tell that by him. He's an artist. That Moulin Rouge thing, man. I mean, the guy is just trying to spread himself across everything and be everything at once while still remaining true to his indie artistic roots. Do you think Star Wars has a place in there? He needed to do the blockbuster.
It's the ultimate independent film, isn't it?
Well, it could be said, of course, because Lucasfilm, he funded the whole thing. I mean, it's all coming off of his vision. Yeah, it is. But, I mean, it's a blockbuster.
Let's say, you know,
I mean, there's no getting around it.
He wasn't playing a naked junkie.
No. And the kids love that part of the film, too. When he's naked and shooting. Yeah. But Trainspotting, no. He will be remembered for being Obi-Wan Kenobi. Whether he likes it or not, those movies aren't going anywhere. They're going to be seen by kids generation after generation, and he will always be known as Obi-Wan.
What was the name of that wretched film he did with Cameron Diaz? A Life Less Ordinary, I think it was called. I watched that movie. I'll tell you, I remember because I was dating my wife at the time, and which is a terrible thing to date your wife, but she wasn't my wife then. And I said, you know, this guy got cast as the new Obi-Wan Kenobi in the new Star Wars movies. I got to rent this movie just to see what this guy's like. I wasn't about to watch Trainspotting. It's not my thing. Junkies creep me out. And so we rented this A Life Less Ordinary with Cameron. I mean, it was bad. Well, I mean, bad movie. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, Ewan's putting out a movie or two a year. Ain't no way Star Wars is the worst movie he's ever done. There's no way.
No, because I remember watching this film, I think maybe it was about a year ago. It was on HBO, and I thought, oh, it's Ewan. I like Ewan. I'll watch it. It was this movie about him being a transient and a vagrant and walking around and sleeping with women, and it was horrible. It was boring, and it was awful, and I barely got through the first 25 minutes of it, and
you don't even know the name of it, do you?
I can't even remember the name. That's how nondescript the film was. And I look back on it now and go, really? And you think Star Wars? Well, I mean, again, we're interpreting fifth hand now this information, but
it's the only thing we got, so we got to go with it.
But Ewan has been known to say,
yeah, he has been known to say Star Wars, you know, because eventually you get tired of being lauded for it when you don't feel like it's your best work.
All right. We're just going to, real quick here, we're going to just run through a couple of these titles. Better or worse than Star Wars? We're on IMDb. We're going to go through just a few of Ewan's work, okay? All right. We're going to start. Let's be fair. No one remembers his turn as a guest on ER. Oh, you do remember this.
Listen, that was a great episode. And as a matter of fact, that episode occurred like around 95, 96 when the casting for episode one was going down. And I watched that episode. It was a great, great scene with him. And he was holding up a corner grocery store. And Juliana Margulies just happened to be shopping there. And he took everyone hostage. And he had a partner. Oh. It was a fantastic episode. And
was he naked and shooting up drugs?
He was bleeding and wearing a sweater. I do remember that. But it was fantastic. It was one of the best episodes of ER I ever saw. And I wasn't a huge... There was a middle period there when I did watch ER a lot. And I just remember there was casting going down for episode one at this time. Okay. And I thought, this guy could be a great Anakin. At this point, we didn't know Anakin was going to be a child or anything. But I had heard a lot of hype about Ewan McGregor. And this was also about the same time Trainspotting, or shortly before it.
We had these crazy notions about the prequels being about the Clone Wars.
Right. Well, if we could go back and think of the things we thought the prequels should have been about. But then again, another podcast. That would have to be a live podcast because people would have to call in for that.
That's right. So you saw this episode where he played Duncan Stewart.
Yes, it was. I mean, it was such a great episode. They held up this this corner grocery store, took everyone hostage. And I won't spoil the end for you because I might have a copy of it sitting around. I'll give it to you because I think you'd appreciate it. But I swear to God, I watched this and I go, this guy would be great for the new Star Wars. There was something that kind of reminded me of young Mark Hamill. I mean, granted, Ewan is British, but there was an intangible quality there. And when I found out he had been cast for episode one, I said, of course, because I solely based from that ER.
Still thinking he was Anakin, probably at that point.
Well, at this point,
right? Or did you know?
They did say he was going to be Obi-Wan.
Okay.
And, you know, that was quashing the rumors that it was going to be Kenneth Branagh.
Right.
Who was being thrown That's around right. out there, who I also could have been a great Obi-Wan. Also, that cat, he looks like Dennis Leary, but he was in Spider-Man as the Green Goblin. His name's Willem Dafoe. He was also being thrown around.
That's
right. A potential.
I totally believe, by the way, that Kenneth Branagh had it. I really did. Because the timeline that I thought they were covering would have put him at probably the right age for for that.
Yeah. And there is a physical resemblance to him.
Yes.
And Alec Guinness.
Right.
Right.
All right. So ER, better or worse than Star Wars?
Worse.
All right. All right.
After all that lauding,
right.
Still worse.
it's only ER.
The Serpent's Kiss. Never heard of it. Worse than Star Wars. A Life Less Ordinary. Well, we already covered
that. Did hear of it.
Much worse than Star Wars.
Worse.
Desserts. Never heard of it.
Delicious. Velvet, but worse.
Velvet Goldmine. All right. Little Voice. I did see that. Not a bad little art film. Worse than Star Wars, though.
Way worse. That was creepy, that movie.
Little Voice?
Yeah, I thought that was kind of weird. Oh, and I thought Ewan was totally weird in that movie.
Yeah, he was. Really, until we get up to Black Hawk Down, do we really have anything? Well, Moulin Rouge and Black Hawk Down, both in 2001.
There was a film I saw on an airplane once where he was involved in a stock market scheme where he blew... Every investor in the world, he blew their money in the stock market.
Worse than Star Wars.
Way worse.
You got to get down to the one. I think it's like a single word name.
I think we've proved it.
Well, tell me the title of that movie that I saw.
Oh, wait a minute. Valiant?
No.
Robots?
No.
Big Fish?
No.
Oh, one name. One word.
Yeah.
Robots was good.
Incendiary. No, that's not out yet.
No.
Yeah, Robots.
But, I mean, he was just doing a voice to a cartoon. Right. That's
What about that movie, that horrible movie, The Island?
Never Jay loves it.
Oh, Jay loves it?
Yeah.
Well, then.
Worse than Star Wars.
Nora.
No.
Victor Freeze's wife. All right. Desserts? Dude, I
don't know what it was.
Yeah, I don't think you'd know it if you heard it.
Probably not. It was bad.
All right.
Worse than Star Wars.
So Ewan, you might want to check your own listings at IMDb. You'll find that you have done much worse than Star Wars. Of course, he doesn't specify which Star Wars he was talking about, nor do we know if this is true at all. So we should...
so just to throw that out there, this whole argument could
now,
be for
we
not.
Do know that there is a young lady that listens to the show that is a huge Ewan McGregor fan. And anytime we say anything disparaging about Mr. McGregor, she's very quick to email and set the record straight. So hopefully she will do so. I can't think of her name. One thing that is not a rumor is the survey that was sent out I don't know if this was just to Hyperspace members. Jimmy, have you been a member of Hyperspace?
Yes.
Okay, so maybe this is Hyperspace members only, or registered users of StarWars.com more than likely. But there was a survey that circulated last week. Some interesting questions that are being asked of, I think, current and former subscribers of Hyperspace and registered members of StarWars.com. You know, when right around C4 was when the new homepage of StarWars.com launched. And I was thinking, here we go. They're really... And then the Star Wars blog showed up, a WordPress blog, which is very... We've given them lots of credit here on the show. It's a great read. You should definitely add it to your news feed, your reader, or go to visit it once a day. Always interesting things there that Bonnie and Pablo and company over there are putting up. But the relaunch or the redesign of the site never really carried on beyond the homepage. And it's so different from, you know, the back end site. So it just never, it just seems like they dropped it. And then you get this survey that's going out asking, you know, first they ask a lot of questions about, you know, are you an active blogger? Do you have a MySpace account? Do you use photo sharing websites? Do you have you ever uploaded a video to the internet? So I was going through here and I was, you know, yes, I've done this. I've blogged. I've uploaded video. We've got lots of great video from the ForceCast over at YouTube. And then you get to these kinds of questions. Do you listen to podcasts? Do your children listen to podcasts? And then later on, they talk about, you know, what are some of the things that you would like to see on StarWars.com? Would you like to see podcasts? Would you like to see more social networking and these kinds of things? So it seems to me that the fan sites like Rebel Scum, Force.net here at the ForceCast are kind of giving StarWars.com something to, I hate to say it, but live up to a little bit. We're setting the bar.
Well, and certainly, and we know that that's been the case for a while, that, you know, StarWars.com was kind of behind the times, which is why they went for the relaunch and why they did what they did to kind of bring themselves back up to speed and in some ways now surpass some of the things that the fan websites are able to do. So now it's just they've got to look for the next step. What are they going to do? I'm assuming they're going to finish, you know, the rehash of the website and finish doing everything like that. But
yeah,
they've also want to keep everything moving, I would think, and find some other ways to satisfy the fans. I mean, ultimately, in a perfect world, and I'm sure in their perfect world, StarWars.com is your website to go to for anything and everything you want.
Star Wars,
right. Yeah. Not for, you know, cooking advice or, you know, world news, but, but for anything Star Wars related, that's ultimately what they would like your destination to be.
Yeah.
And in some ways they'll be able to do that. Some ways they just, legally and probably structurally can't do that. But it's always good to look for ways to improve your product to send to the fans.
Well, I mean, you figure that we've said this before on the show, who better to or who more capable to cover Star Wars than StarWars.com? I think there are some benefits to what we do in terms of not being directly associated with Lucasfilm or LucasArts or any of their cousin or sister, companies or entities.
Yeah, we may not be able to bash you and McGregor for 10 straight minutes.
That wasn't bashing. That was a critical analysis.
That's right. That was constructive criticism.
Of something that may or may not have been said at some point in time. You look at some of these questions, they're talking about, do you play or download games on the internet? Have you ever watched a video on your cell phone? Who is your cell phone carrier? These are questions that are certainly lend themselves to the idea that they really want to beef up this whole idea of what we call, the social web, that sites like MySpace and Flickr and, this idea that it's a community, building a community. And that's probably one of the things that Star Wars fan sites are so good at,
mm-hmm.
is developing a community around the site, around, say, collecting, in the case of Rebel Scum, or just Star Wars news, general talk at the Force.net. They're very interested in this survey about which section of content on the site, is your favorite and which is your least favorite. They break it up into, like, gaming, kids, community, the movies, data bank, collecting, hyperspace, video. And I found it interesting that hyperspace was here as an option of a section of the site, which is your favorite, which is your least favorite. I'm an active subscriber of hyperspace.
Mm-hmm.
I don't find myself going there very much.
No.
And I think that it's because I feel like if there's something big or something that's breaking, I'm going to hear about it from TFN or Rebel Scum.
Right.
And not necessarily the official channel. I will often go to the official channel to get more detail.
Mm-hmm.
but not necessarily for breaking news. Certainly it would be nice to get some sort of a weekly update from the source.
Yeah. Well, and it's got to kind of be about access, and you've got to have things that you can't get anywhere else. In the lack of a movie and some of the other things, there just isn't that out there. I mean, there's not a reason to go there on a daily basis, and I'm sure they're looking for ways to make that more appealing.
Well, here are some suggestions that they have about what kind of new content would you like to see. And we'll kind of break these down a little bit. Classic Star Wars movie scenes. I feel if it's a scene from the film that I've already seen, I don't really necessarily need to be able to stream it. Now, what would be cool is to have all six films available to stream whenever I want. I'm a member of Hyperspace, and I'm sitting at work, and I'm bored. Guess what? I'm going to log on, and I'm going to watch a few minutes of Star Wars or Empire or whatever. I think that would be cool.
Or if you could watch it on your phone.
Sure.
I'm a guy who takes the train to work every day, you know. That's a 40-minute commute. It would be great just, you know, I don't want to read the paper. I don't want to read Legacy of the Force novel. It's putting me to sleep. I don't want to listen to any. I want to watch Star Wars right now. You know, that would be so right at your fingertips. Boom.
Yeah. So it'd be great.
I mean, you know, that's probably the
so
direction.
More so than scenes.
Oh, scenes. Who cares about scenes, really? I mean, unless you needed to access a scene to settle a debate you're having with your friend about some trivia or, you know, but who needs just a specific scene? Who says, oh, my God, I have to see.
No, the, you know, it's not true.
It's unthinkable.
It's outrageous. It's unthinkable.
Mindless monsters.
I may just want to have those available for whenever I need them.
Right. All right. User-generated Star Wars videos. If you're talking about fan films, yes, I would love it if StarWars.com was my destination, my default place to go watch some fan films and have them categorized.
Yes.
Which would be great. So I could see something that's a little bit more like, say, Figure Club, which is one that we watched at Celebration 4, which is a great little film. Or if it's something that's more, for lack of a better term, canonical or you know, character-driven in terms of, you know, being part of the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
Any future Star Wars TV series.
Now we're talking.
Well, yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
Right. Wouldn't that be nice? Very similar to what they did with... I thought what they did with the Cartoon Network's Clone Wars was fantastic.
Yes.
So I can watch it premiere on Cartoon Network.
Right.
And then as a Hyperspace member, guess what? I can go watch it full screen or close to full screen the very next day whenever I want.
And that's really when Hyperspace was at its peak, was during the prequel production, when you could go on there and see those great, that Knoll Vision thing that John Knoll did, where you could scan around the whole set. And this was during
Looking for clues.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
And the webcam.
Right.
And the updates. And all that stuff was exclusive Hyperspace stuff. Right now, what do we got? They're reprinting stuff from the old West End Games books, which I've had on my bookshelf for 10 years.
Yeah.
Some of the audio stuff I adore. I love it. But, you know, once you hear it, once you download it, you move on. You don't need to keep hitting the spot. The site, and they don't update it really enough for me to keep going back to Hyperspace.
I agree.
I look forward to the time, because I was a huge fan of Hyperspace, I look forward to the time when I can go there on a regular basis and check out updates about the Clone Wars TV show or the live action TV show or just anything, because right now they're not providing it.
That's true. And let's face it. I mean, there you would get, photos that would hit the web that were sort of unofficial. But it was always really exciting during the production of the prequels to get those nice, crisp, clean production photos and of the characters and stuff. So that's really what they do. I mean, that's when they do what they do best. Videos highlighting ILM visual effects work on other non-Star Wars movies. That's kind of a snore for me. I'm a geek, but I'm not like a visual effects geek.
Yeah.
That might turn some people on, but not me.
I'm not real big into it because I don't like to have the magic taken away a little bit.
Yeah.
I like to be able to look at a scene and be lost in the fact that that is really actually something that could exist.
Right.
As opposed to, you know, looking at it and going, yeah, I remember what those trees looked like when they drew them in black and white.
Yeah. Yeah.
that kind of pulls me out of it a little bit. So that doesn't really appeal to me, but it may appeal to some people, and it could be a great feature down the road, but.
But it's not Star Wars.
But it's not Star Wars. Right. We're going either, to, right.
the site is starwars.com. Yeah. Why do we care about
Pirates 3?
Pirates, yeah, exactly. Right. Pirates of the Caribbean or the new Spider-Man. I mean, there are websites for that. Right. And we'll go there if we want to see that.
Right.
That's right.
I mean, we're not just going to starwars.com, no matter how appealing they're going to make it to us. That's right. Not going to be the only website we go to.
That's right. Right. That's right.
But it is going to be the website we go to if we want Star Wars stuff.
Right.
Just like TheForce.net is in Rebel Scum. But what they're trying to do is make it everything for everyone.
Right.
You know, via this survey, and of course that's impossible. So that's
but
why
you
I get
try
surveys
and get
like
as close
this.
As you can.
Graphic novels or comics. I think the web strips are cool.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem with those. I mean, if they're there, I'll read them.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was going to hyperspace regularly during the pre-production of episode 3, I would read the web strips.
Yeah.
So if there, I can't say that will drive me to the site. But while I'm there and I see that as a ticker or as an updated thing, I will read them. Here's where it starts to get exciting for me. Deleted scenes and animatics from the movies, and I have to combine it with the second with the choice after that. Deleted scenes and behind-the-scenes footage from the original trilogy. Yes, 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 yes. Show me the sandstorm from Jedi. Show me, you know, 3PO. I mean, yeah, sure, this is stuff that maybe we've seen on bootleg DVDs and whatnot.
Right.
But let's see it on StarWars.com. Let's see clips from the holiday special on StarWars.com. You know, the Wampas ripping up the Imperial Stormtroopers on Hoth. You know, let's see some of that stuff.
Yeah.
That would be cool. That would get me to go.
Well, of course, that's what everyone's been wanting out of the DVDs for all these years.
Right.
And, you know, maybe that's down the road a little bit, but...
Yeah, wouldn't that wet your whistle a little bit for those DVDs if you started seeing some of these clips showing up, you know, on StarWars.com?
Exactly.
New original short fiction, I just don't go there to read, you know.
It's very difficult
to read. I don't go
there
to read, yeah.
On a website, you know, and even though it is a short story, it's going to be longer than just a page or, you know, 2 pages.
Right.
And it's very difficult to sit and read a story like that in, you know, just sitting in front of your computer. You know, unfortunately, I've been involved with newsletters and things along those lines where you try and put it online, and the more content that you have putting it online, the less likely there is that people are going to read it. They're going to sit and read it, especially if it's very wordy. And there's not anything else to break.
What
it
I would rather them do is just do little audio. You know, imagine like old time radio, Jim.
Yes.
You know, where you take these original stories and you do little radio dramas.
Right.
With one or two actors. That's all you would need.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That would be cool. I would download something like that.
Yeah, that
every
would
day
definitely
got maybe
make
five
me...
or 10 minutes of a story. Now that would be cool.
Right. Yep. Wow. Now that is old time radio right there. Yeah.
Right.
And every day's a cliffhanger, too.
Yeah, right. You know? Yeah. Which, how perfect. I mean, we know that Lucas loves that format.
Yes, yes.
The serialized format. I love this. This is the last one of the last options. There's a lot more on this survey. We won't get into everything. But podcasts of news and interviews.
You know, I really like podcasts about news and with good interviews. That stuff really does appeal to me a lot.
Yeah, I do too. Do you have any suggestions, Jim, where they might be able to find such a ragtag group of
some bandits?
Wow. Boy, you know, no, I have no idea. I mean, really, you know, maybe we could try, you know, some of those Star Trek websites. I'm sure they have some very talented and qualified people there who might have a vague interest in Star Wars and some nice equipment, and they can provide whatever anyone needs. But
sure, sure.
Podcasts. What is a podcast?
Podcasts. Well, please, if you did get this emailed to you, I mean, it looks like a long, drawn-out survey, and it is long. There's a lot of questions on this. On this thing, 27 questions, but it's proof that they really do care what you think, what you want, and it'll get you thinking about what you'd like to see the future of StarWars.com to be, and it certainly got us thinking, and it created some good conversation. So make sure that you fill out the survey. Help Bonnie and Pablo and the great gang over there at StarWars.com to make the site better. I mean, we all have an interest in this to see that it gets better and better. And so check that out. And, you know, if you mention to them that you listen to this this show, the ForceCast, over at theforce.net/podcast, so much the better. That'd be great. We'd appreciate it. So the 30th anniversary keeps going and going and going, and there's a lot of product out there. One of the things that I've been wanting to see, I thought we were going to get, Jimmy was telling us about it earlier today, and I was getting really excited, and then I saw what we're really getting, and it's okay, but it's not perfect. The Music of Star Wars 30th Anniversary Collection coming out from Sony BMG. It's a box set filled with 8 CDs. Now you're thinking, okay, wait, Star Wars 30th Anniversary, 8 CDs. Where did they get 8 CDs?
There were 6 films minus 1 Carry the 4.
Oh, well, maybe it's, yeah.
Don't start Pete with the man.
Yeah, right, yeah. What are we talking about?
I'm out.
Pete, stop. I see the smoke coming out of the ears already. Anyway, well, here's how it breaks down. Basically, you're going to get the 2 disc versions of the original trilogy films, episodes 4, 5, and 6. You're going to get a CD called Star Wars The Corellian Edition Compilation, the most popular themes from all 6 episodes on 1 disc. You're going to have, well, all the hits.
Yeah.
Yoda's theme, the Imperial March, the Battle of Heroes, the love theme from episode 2.
The only thing I can hear is...
What's the big Phantom Menace theme? Oh, Duel of the Fates. Duel of the Fates.
Robert Goulet humming them.
Yeah. That's what a song really takes off. Do-do-do-loo, 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 hey.
Do-do-cha-bang.
Nice.
Anyway, so the 8th disc is a CD-ROM of digital art of the original LP packaging, which, Jimmy, you're the only one here old enough to remember the original LP packaging.
Brutal. Thank you. I do, as a matter of fact. I think I still own some of that, as a matter of fact.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You can show us. Those still haven't turned to dust.
Yeah.
They're still around. By the way, I have to point out, I've seen a number of Star Wars collections in my time. I have not quite seen anything quite as impressive as Jimmy Mack's Star Wars room. We've talked on the show a number of times about, you know, what's your ideal Star Wars room. So we walk into this room, and I'm looking, and, you know, I've heard stories about Jimmy's collection. We walk into the room, and I'm like, oh, just, it's not bad. There's a R2-D2, was it a trash can?
That's a cooler.
A cooler. Yeah, okay, there's an R2 cooler, and there's some figures, you know, a pretty nice display of figures. And I'm like, but I thought he was darn near close to being a one-of-every-figure kind of guy. And then he walks over to this closet, and he throws open these doors, and
it was amazing.
It's unbelievable.
It was breathtaking.
I mean, and you did a great job of, you know, grouping the figures, too. And I'm a, you know, card collector, and I'm starting to rethink it.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. After seeing Jimmy opens most of his figures and displays them,
yeah,
and seeing them that way is a completely different way.
It was like an army.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, literally like just an army of characters.
Yeah, and it was just their characters, and they were in great scenes and you know, with other characters from certain scenes. It was great. I was very impressed.
You did a great job, man.
Well, thank you, guys. And, of course, as I was telling Pete, you are probably the two largest Star Wars luminaries to set foot in that room. I mean, what I mean by that is people who would actually appreciate it and not just look in, nod, and say, oh, you are sick, Frank, which most people do. But you guys were actually able to get in there and check out a lot of loose figures that you've never actually seen loose before.
Right.
And so that begs the question, what is the rarity and what should be worth more? The figure that stays in its package and no one sees open, or the figure that you open and no one ever sees it that way? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's kind of switched a little bit, because the thing that made them rare back in the day was because they were definitely toys. They weren't collectibles. And so to have them in the package, you know, now, because everyone opened them,
right,
that's big. But with the current figures, everybody is keeping them as collectibles and as display pieces and what have you. So fewer people do open some of the, especially the rarer figures.
Yes.
Like the elusive Lava Vader.
Yes.
You had an open Lava Vader.
Sacrilege, I know, to some people.
There
but...
may only be two or three open Lava Vaders available in the world.
Exactly, and I have one of them.
And you have one
that's
of them.
That's a really good point. That's a great point.
Everyone's running to rip open their Lava Vaders.
Oh my gosh, he's got an open one. Where do I get one of those? But it's just, mine's on a card.
It is kind of funny and ironic to me when people come in and their jaws drop because they see a loose George Sackle. Oh my God, I've never seen a loose George Sackle before. You know what? You can pick it up even. And so it's that kind of, you know, thing. Obviously, you know, anyone could open up there. You know,
you can open them up, but you can't put them back. That's probably the thing.
But my thing is too, is of course I love this stuff and I've been buying them ever since 1977, 78. When they first hit the pegs, and I have no intention of selling off my collection. So what it's worth in a book or a price guide or on a convention table means nothing to me.
Yeah.
Because it's worth something to me and me alone, and that's all that really matters.
And I liked looking at your vintage stuff, too. You had a great – you have all of the vintage figures, save one. The Yak Man.
The Yak Face, yes. The elusive Yak Face. And I really, you know, went into Celebration 4 with the whole idea that I'm leaving L.A. with Yak Face riding shotgun with me. But no, I found very few samples, and the ones I did find were outrageously expensive.
Yeah.
So, again, I'm putting out the call. You got the Yak Face. I don't care what condition it is. Let us know. podcast@theforce.net.
That may be the first shameless begging that we've had on the show for a figure.
Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be great? I tell you what, if I was out there listening to this show and I had an extra Yak Face, I tell you what, man.
Nobody has an extra Yak Face. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's why you can't
buy
them for a
nickel. That's what makes it rare, Jason. Anyway, just getting back real quick to this story. It's coming out in November, this 30th anniversary CD collection, 8 discs. Of course, the 2-disc versions of episodes 4, 5, and 6, the scores, and then CD-ROM of artwork, and then the sort of like the greatest hits, Corellian edition.
What makes it the Corellian edition? Why did they just randomly pull that? Why couldn't it be like
the Nubian?
The Nubian version.
It was chosen by Han Solo himself.
Right. All right. Handpicked solo tracks.
Handpicked.
Solo.
Oh, that's even lamer the second time you said it. But anyway, get it. And this just brings up the fact that the Phantom Menace double disc that apparently did not sell well enough to make Sony give the same treatment to episodes 2 and 3 have really kind of ruined it, because I really feel that despite some of the flaws of the prequels, in which we've talked about that, I think the music is just
was
fantastic. Be great to hear the whole thing.
Yeah.
On CD.
Yeah, and there are certain things that I missed, some parts of the song, like we were talking about the great entrance for Revenge of the Sith is nowhere to be found on CD.
Yes,
it's outrageous. Those. It's unthinkable.
Yes, it is.
Outrageous.
Those monsters.
Yeah, it is. And now, you know what? I have been told that there's a couple of little bits music from the OT that didn't make it onto disc. And this is what I've been told. And one of them is that cue of music from Jedi in Jabba's palace, right as they are cutting. Jimmy's nodding his head. He knows what I'm talking about. Right as they're cutting to they're on their way out to the Sarlacc pit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that, you know what I'm talking about? I can't imitate it. But, you know, do.
Come on, Jason.
No, I can't do it. Anyway, I've been told that that's not available. And I can't substantiate that. I don't know if it is or not. But maybe it will be.
All right. Well, we'll have to research this.
All right. Well, our last story of the night is for sure the Force Among Us red carpet premiere that we just got out of. Of course, we've been talking about the Force Among Us documentary Chris and Courtney Macht and Company have put together. Fabulous documentary about Star Wars fans by Star Wars fans. It's not a film, fan film per se. It is a film about fans. And so they had, of course, they're from this area, as is Jimmy, and they had their red carpet premiere tonight in Woodridge, Illinois, in this beautiful theater that's kind of modeled after the Mann's or the Grauman's Chinese theater in Hollywood. I was really impressed with that. They got a lot of really cool events coming, and of course, this was a great venue for this. Packed house, man.
Very packed.
Sold out.
So
and kudos to the people at Hollywood Boulevard, which was the theater. It was a lot of fun. They did a great job of putting it together and keeping everything together and, you know, making it into an event that's worthy of the film itself.
And what a fine looking group. Chris, Courtney, Glenn, a lot of the folks that are from the movie.
Mike and Josh. And
right.
All of their family members.
Yeah.
It was great to finally meet some of them and get to hang out with them for a night. And it was great just to watch the film in the company of other people.
And on the big screen
and with great audio. And it was
everybody laughing at the right spots.
Right.
You know, of course, so who can forget our good friend?
Oh, George Lucas. Oh, me's a Jar Jar. Me's a big failure to the fans. Oh, they should shoot me in me's a face.
All right. So we met him. We met him tonight, and he's a nice guy.
Yeah, Mike is a really nice guy. And,
he's not necessarily angry. He said he's no longer the angry guy. What is he?
No, he's comic relief.
Comic relief
guy.
He's
now comic relief guy.
But it was a great night. Chris, Courtney, and company, they have a lot to be proud of. They put together a great film. They've worked their tails off, and they deserve every bit of accolade that they got from tonight. And I was just happy that we were invited. We were on the Evite list.
Yeah,
and thanks to Jimmy.
And there was a lot of our fans that were there as well, and were nice enough to come up and talk to us and just say hello. And it was really nice to meet them and
hear from some of them that said that they heard about. Of course, The Force Among Us and the premiere from the podcast, from The Forcecast.
Right.
So that's pretty cool, too.
Yeah. That's always very cool to hear.
You listen. You really listen.
That survey is at StarWars.com.
But it was a great night, and the Mocs deserve it. They put so much behind this. They funded this whole film themselves. Christian alone is probably about ready to collapse just from all the work he's done and the nonstop promotion and everything. And yes, it has been hyped to death because Chris wants everyone to see it. He really feels that strongly in it. It's not like he's trying to make a buck. You know, if he breaks even, big deal. You know, he wants people to see it. He has a message about Star Wars and his love of Star Wars. And this movie is it.
Yeah.
And between him and his lovely sister, Courtney, who looked fabulous tonight. I mean, these folks were dressed in the nines. Chris had on the tux.
Right.
Nice
I mean,
touch.
This was a red carpet premiere.
They pulled up in the limos.
Yeah.
Flash bulbs were popping. They walked up down the red carpet. It was quite a scene. With
members
Darth
of the 501st.
And Boba Fett's there and stormtroopers here. And, I mean, it was just fantastic. And there was a cool looking Darth Maul there tonight.
Yeah.
And he was sitting down the row from us during the screening of the film. And I kept glancing over at him just to see Darth Maul sitting there kind of just studying the film in the theater. Just like the everyman that Darth Maul probably
right, yes.
is.
Like
you
he
know.
Was before yeah. he, you know, ascended to the level in the Sith that he did.
Before he split up on us, but it was really nice to see it in a crowd and everyone was laughing at what I felt were the appropriate moments.
Right.
Yeah.
The Norway footage on a big screen looked fantastic. On the DVD,
yeah,
it looks great, but I really love that Norway footage.
Yeah.
And Chris, you know, if he survives this, he promises more. He really has been bitten by the bug to direct films, and he still has more things to say about the Star Wars community. And this might just be a little warm-up for him.
Yeah.
So he has a vision, and he has passion. And more than anything, I support that.
Yeah, well said. Hear, hear.
Yeah.
So congratulations to Chris and Courtney and the whole crew, Frank Yario, and the whole crew behind The Force Among Us. Check it out. You can... Always visit their site at theforceamongus.com. The videos, or the DVDs rather, are still available for $19.77. And I don't know if they still have the vials of sand or not. Pete, did you get your vial?
I did. I have my vial. It is sitting on my shelf right next to the
real
the DVD
sand from
itself.
Tunisia. Now, that's pretty cool.
It is. It was very cool.
And
we scooped that stuff up right outside the Skywalker Ranch, right there. And put it all into the vials himself with a spoon sitting in his living room.
Wait a minute, not the ranch, the right where the...
Well, not the ranch, I mean the homestead.
The homestead, you know right.
Not Skywalker Ranch. I mean the homestead from the films in Tunisia, yes.
Okay, all right, well, good. We're glad that he wasn't in the sandbox at the where they keep the kids at daycare at Skywalker Ranch.
I think Kyle Newman took all the sand from that one. That'll be available on pre-orders of Fanboys.
That's right.
Coming in January.
Oh, man. What a show it what a show it's been. Well, let's see. Do we have any? I tell you what. We're tired. Jimmy's tired. We did get a lot of voicemails, and we did get some emails, but we're going to skip them this week. We'll be back next week on TalkShoe at TalkShoe.com, but we're going to wrap this sucker up. Wow, what a great opportunity this has been for us to...
A really fun evening. Just to be at the premiere and then to come down here to the ForceCast Annex and record live with our good friend Jimmy Mack. Just
a
lot
pleasure.
Of fun.
A blast. A blast, guys. I'm so happy you made the trip. Be able to come out and see my great city. It is my city, by the way.
We saw, by the way, that you showed us around and, by the way, you drove.
Oh, is that... Who needs to drive on four wheels when two is just fine?
Right. Weave in and out of traffic. You know, it's all good.
That's city style.
Well, like I said, we will be back, of course, next week, as we are every week with the ForceCast. If you'd like to contact us, you can call us at 330-871-4TFN and leave us a voicemail. Of course, as Jimmy pointed out earlier, you can email us at podcast@theforce.net. Also, check out our Rebel Scum forums at rebelscum.com. There's always something going on, trivia. There are contests. By the way, all of you prize winners from a couple months ago, your prizes, they're in there. You should have them now.
You should have them by now, yes.
Listen, we paid priority mail for those suckers, except for you guys in Canada and Australia. I said, cheapest way possible for those.
Oh, you jerk.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? That's expensive, man.
It's expensive, I'll say.
Send something
that
to Australia? Come on, Dean! But you should have your prizes, so check us out, our forums. Always something going on. Again, next week, TalkShoe Live, Wednesday, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can check us out at TalkShoe.com, TheForce.net, RebelScum.com. We're everywhere. Thanks, guys. We love you. Thanks to Jimmy Mack.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for coming out, and it's so great to see you. So great to be part of the ForceCast, and I can't wait till we do it again.
Well, we definitely will. I want to thank your brother, Billy, who joined us, too.
Of course.
It's always fun to have Bill around. Unfortunately, he couldn't make it. He's got to get up early for work tomorrow.
Yeah, great guy, great Star Wars fan.
Absolutely. All right, for the ForceCast,
I'm Pete.
I'm Jimmy Mack.
And I'm Jason. And remember, the Force will be with you always.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of the Force.net LLC unless otherwise indicated.